Amen. The title of my sermon this morning is Things Which Cannot Be Shaken. Things which cannot be shaken. The Bible says in verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Things which cannot be shaken. We are living in a very uncertain time. There are so many strange things happening today in America, and people don't know what the future holds. They don't really know where things are going. And at a time like this, we need to stop and think about what it is that we're really anchored to, because a lot of people right now are really affected by the things that are going on because they have no anchor, they have no foundation. And so, you know, everything that they hold dear is changing all around them or slipping away from them, and this makes them nervous. But the Bible says in verse 27 there, it says, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. So the things that are made, basically what God's saying is the whole creation, everything that is physically here on this earth is going to be shaken. It's going to change. Nothing on this earth stays the same. Okay? And that's why the Bible says the things that are seen are temporal and the things that are not seen are eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away. I mean, everything on this earth is temporary. It's going to change. And the Bible says that there are those things which cannot be shaken that will remain. Look at verse 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 in your Bible. Matthew chapter number 7. See, in times like these, we need to anchor ourselves on the things that don't change. We need to find those things that are secure, that can't be shaken, and anchor ourselves to those things so that we're not just tossed to and fro or just going through life upset and having anxiety because we're so worried about, you know, what's going to happen. And look, let me just give you my opinion right now. You know, I think that strange things are probably going to continue to happen at least all the way through November. Yeah. You know, it seems like there's some connection with the fact that we're having a lot of strange events happen in rapid succession leading up to November, whatever that means, whoever's behind that, I don't know. But I personally will be surprised if we have a normal summer. You know what I mean? At this point, I would be surprised if everything was just peaceful and normal and just, you know, starting to recover and get back to normal in July, August, and September. I hope that's what happens. But, you know, the way things are going this year, I think you just need to buckle up because it's going to be a wild ride. And I think at least through November, you know, and I don't know what it's going to be. Is it going to be more rioting? Is it going to be, you know, a mutated coronavirus? You know, who knows what it's going to be? But the bottom line is we just need to be ready for anything, okay? And the person who's anchored to God's word, the person who is spiritually right with God is ready for anything. No matter what this world throws at us, no matter what life throws at us, if we are spiritually grounded, we will be fine. Our job could be destroyed, we'll still be fine. We could go through a health problem, we could go through relationship problems, church problems, economic problems. If God is for us, no one can stand against us, and we will be okay. So at this time, you need to get your focus on eternal things, things that can't be shaken, get anchored, and just say, you know what? Whatever happens in July, whatever happens in August, hey, I'm ready for it. Bring it on. Because God is at my side, and I'm ready to go through whatever happens. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And, you know, I think some people's attitude about life is, you know, man, if these storms would just stop, you know, I could get ahead. I'd be okay. I could move forward in my life. The storms are never going to stop. The Bible says here that there are two kinds of people. There's the one that's founded on the rock and the one that's founded on the sand. But you know what both of these people have in common? they both got beaten on. They both got rained on. They both had storms and floods and tempests, because that is just part of life. Everyone is going to go through those things. There are going to be storms. There are going to be upheavals. There are going to be changes. So don't make a plan of how to avoid change or how to avoid problems, because it's impossible. You're going to go through these things. The key is to be founded on the rock. And the Bible says that the one who's founded on the rock is the one that hears the sayings of Jesus Christ and does them, right? He listens to God's word. He reads his Bible. He listens to the preaching at church. And then he goes out and does what he's heard. That guy's founded on a rock, the Bible says. And no matter how hard life beats on him, at the end of the day, he's going to be the one that's still standing, okay? The people that fade away, what does the Bible say in verse 26? Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. A lot of people are going to crash and burn because they're not founded on the rock, because they're not anchored to something that's unmovable. The things which cannot be shaken. God's word never changes. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He said, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one jot or one tittle to pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So look, the mountains are going to be removed and cast into the sea before God's word changes or disappears. So we have that as an anchor. We have that as something that we can hold on to. But you know what? Nations come and go. Languages come and go. Friends come and go. Churches come and go. Movements come and go. Jobs come and go. People come. I mean, that is life. You know, there's a saying that says, you know, you can never swim in the same river twice. You say, what does that mean? Because every time you get in, it's different. It's different water. It's flowing different. Nothing is ever going to be the same. You can't just expect life to always stay the same. Life is constantly changing. Everything on this earth that we can see with our eyes is unstable. Okay? That's why we need a rock. That's why we need an anchor. That's why we need the Word of God. Because nothing else is unmovable. Everything else will change over time. Everything else will be born and live and die. Look, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now, what does that mean, immutability? We talk about the immutability of God's word. Well, let me help you understand that word. Think about the word mutate, right? So if something mutates, it's changing shape or changing form. So something that's immutable, it's not saying like you can't turn down the sound on it, okay? That's what you might have originally thought, but from that mute button. But no. Mute, actually, that root actually has to do with changing shape or changing form. So when it says it's immutable, it's saying it doesn't change. So God wanted to show unto us the immutability of his counsel, just to show us how unchanging his opinion is, how unchanging his thoughts are, his word is. His judgments don't change. And so he confirmed it by an oath. Look at verse 18. That by two immutable things. What does that mean again? Two things that can't change. They don't alter. They don't change form. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. We have that anchor of the soul, sure, steadfast, unchanging, unmoving. God has sworn it by himself. No greater oath exists, and he swore by himself that these things will not change, that he will not go back on his promise. And the Bible says that God, it's impossible for God to lie, it says in here. Now look, if you would, at 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, there are other things in this life that are uncertain. And you say, what are those things? Everything. Everything except the Word of God. Everything except the Lord. Everything except, the things of God. Because other things are going to pass away. You say, well, I know my wife is going to be faithful to me till the end. I know my husband's going to be faithful. You know what? Amen. But here's the thing. Even that relationship will eventually come to an end. Okay? You say, well, you know, I've got my business. You know what? Everything on this earth is eventually going to come to an end. Okay? So we need to make sure that we're not anchored in the things of this world. We need to make sure that we have an anchor in the Word of God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Some people's anchor is their money. You know, they think that because they have so much money, no matter what happens, they'll be able to weather the storm because they can always just pull out the checkbook and just make everything right. But you know what? The Bible calls that uncertain riches. He said, don't trust in that. Trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead, as the saying goes, because of the fact that if we lay up treasures on this earth, moth and rust are going to corrupt, thieves are going to break through and steal. But if we lay up treasures in heaven, the Bible says, where moth and rust do not corrupt, thieves do not break through nor steal, and where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And so we need to, he's telling even rich people, look, lay up in store for yourselves a foundation against the time to come, a good foundation against the time to come. And he's not saying, you know, hey, take another look at that portfolio and make sure you've diversified your assets. Make sure you buy precious metals or whatever. What he's telling them is you need to be rich in good works. Because let me tell you something. The Bible says you will reap what you sow. Now, we often use that term to refer to bad things. You know, hey, you're going to reap what you sow. But guess what? It goes for good things, too. So when things are going good for you, you need to do a bunch of good works. And you know what you're doing? You're laying up in store for yourself a foundation against the time to come. You go out and do a bunch of good works. You serve God. You're faithful to church. You love the Lord. You win souls to Christ. And you know what you're doing? You're stockpiling money into a spiritual bank account. And then when times get rough, God's going to feed you. God's going to take care of you. Maybe everyone else around you will be destitute and up the creek. And you know what? You'll have a job and you'll be able to survive. You'll get through. You'll do okay. Because of the fact that you didn't lay up treasures on earth, but you laid them up in heaven. See, if you lay up treasures on earth, you could be robbed. The economy could collapse. But here's the thing. If you lay up good works with the Lord, you're going to reap what you've sown. And again, it doesn't matter what the situation is. It's not like you're going to have a bunch of Confederate money stuffed in the mattress and then all of a sudden it's not worth anything. You know, the money that you earn working for God, it's always good. You know what I mean? It doesn't go bad. It doesn't disappear. God will take care of those who serve Him. And the Bible tells us here that if rich people are smart, they wouldn't trust in the uncertain riches of this world. They'd spend some time laying up some treasure in a different bank account, a spiritual bank account, a heavenly bank account, so that when the times are really tough, they'll have that good foundation. And they'll have rewards in heaven, of course. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Again, we're living in unstable times, uncertain times. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen. And some people are bothered by that. But you know what? If you actually would just focus on the fact that God doesn't change, His Word doesn't change, we're saved, we're going to heaven, our reward is secure in heaven, we have got a home up there, then it's easy to just ignore the things that are going on, live your life, serve the Lord, love Him, rejoice every day in the day that God has given us, and not get too anxious. You know what? The Bible says to be careful for nothing. Meaning, don't worry about anything, okay? He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Bible says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? By worrying and taking thought, you can't make one hair of your head turn from white to black. You cannot add a cubit to your stature. You know, there's no point in sitting around and worrying. And look, there are a lot of people right now that are just, they're kind of losing their minds, I've noticed. Yeah. I mean, have you noticed this too? Is it just me? Or are some people just really, it seems like they're just really agitated. They're just really frustrated. They're on edge. They're kind of upset. They're nervous. They're anxious. Has anybody could just kind of noticed that? Maybe amongst your friends, family, people? You know, just because of all the things that are going on. But you know, there's really no reason for us as Christians to feel that way. Because God is still in control. God's still on the throne. And all things work together for good to them that love God. There's no reason not to just peacefully go through our lives, serve the Lord, enjoy our lives, enjoy all the bounties that God has given us, because a lot of the things that we worry about, maybe they won't even happen. Like I said, you know, hey, I'm predicting a weird summer. But you know what? It might be the most normal summer ever. We don't know. So I'm not going to sit and worry about it, because worrying about it accomplishes nothing. Right. And I'll say this, you know what? All hell's been breaking loose this year, but I've actually personally, in my life, I've personally been having a great year. You know, I'm not trying to rub anybody's nose in anything. But, you know, bottom line is I've talked to a lot of people around the church, and the vast majority of the people that I've spoken to in church have said that their job's going great, everything's going smooth, full steam. I've literally probably talked to maybe two people out of, like, you know, 50 people that I've talked to about this that said, oh, my job slowed down. Or, you know, things have slowed down for me a little bit, or I'm struggling a little bit with everything. But the vast majority of people I've spoken to, you know, their job's going full speed ahead. They're doing well. And look, if you're one of the people that's struggling right now or going through a trying time or having a difficult time, you know what? Hey, I understand. I feel for you. And you know, I'm not trying to downplay what you're going through, but you know, I've had other years where I went through horrible years. I had a bad year last year. You know, I had all kinds of bad stuff happen last year. And so this is my good year, okay? Last year was my messed up year. But the point is, you know what? Everybody's going to go through those years. If it's not 2020, it's some other year. But the only reason that I bring up the fact that I'm having a good year and a lot of the people in our church that I've talked to are having a great year, the reason that I bring that up is just to point out the fact that, you know what, no matter what happens in this world, God can put a little bubble around us. He can put a little shell or a hedge around us and give us a good year, and we can have a good time and enjoy it. And so don't stress out, because God is able to shield you from all the weird stuff that's going on out there. He is able to do that. Now, if he allows it to affect you, it's because he's allowing it to affect you. And look, if God allowed it to affect you, then it must be his will for your life to allow you to go through some hard times. He may be strengthening your faith, bringing you through some suffering. You're going to come out better on the other side. Okay, there's a reason for it, though. Because if he wanted to, he could just snap his fingers and give you your own little personal land of Goshen where the plagues don't affect you. So don't worry about it. You know what you ought to worry about is just worry about, hey, am I right with God? That's what you ought to worry about. Because as long as you're anchored with the Lord, let the heathen rage. Let the storms beat upon the house. Let the rain come down. You know, when you're inside a durable house with the heater on, and you know that it's built on a firm foundation, and it's all sealed up and climate controlled, you know, the more violent the storm, you're just kind of enjoying it out the window. Who knows what I'm talking about? Where, you know, especially as a kid. You know, when you're a kid, think about when my favorite thing in the world when I was a kid was when Sacramento would flood. You know, you know how kids are. I'm not saying that was a mature attitude. But I'm saying when I was a kid, man, I was like, yes, flooding, you know. And the whole street would be like a river, and the whole place is flooded. School's canceled. It's like, I mean, I bet a lot of kids, this year's been a dream come true with all the cancellation of school. I mean, a lot of people are just loving it, right? So, I remember when I was a kid, though, you know, just watching a violent storm out the window, the more lightning, the better. The more thunder, the better. The more flooding, the harder it rains. You're like, this is cool. Now, look, if you're outside, exposed, if you're sleeping in a tent, if you're up on top of a hill and lightning striking all around you, yeah, be very afraid. But here's the thing, that durable brick house is the Lord. We're in that refuge. The Lord's our rock. let the storm beat on it, and we're just, you know, we're just making another bag of popcorn and just watching it all happen. We have an anchor, friend. We have a foundation. There's no reason to fear. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. The Bible says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And again, we just see the temporary nature of things in the Bible. Just how, you know, prophecies, tongues, knowledge, these things are going to fade away. You know, if you think about it, science is constantly changing. Yes. You know, I've been learning a lot of science lately. I've been delving back into the study of science over the past several months. And let me tell you something. I'm having to relearn a lot of things that have changed, you know, because science has changed so much since 20 years ago when I was in school. You know, because they've learned more and they've said, you know, hey, we used to think it was this way, now it's this way. And it's just like, whoa, how could it change that much in 20 years? Because there's knowledge that turns out wasn't as secure, you know, and it turns out it was something different. Languages, tongues cease. You know, there are languages that are dead languages. And even right now, even today, every day in the world, somewhere a language is dying, literally. You know, and even, we don't even have to look very far. Look at the state of Arizona. I mean, pretty much the only Native American language that's really hanging on is Navajo. But I mean, a lot of the other languages are fading away. They're going away, and it's getting less and less. The youth aren't necessarily learning them. And pretty soon, we'll be reading a newspaper article someday, and it'll say, hey, the last native speaker of so-and-so, the Indian language, died today. And you say, isn't that terrible? I mean, it is what it is. You know, and see, a lot of people, they hate change, and they don't want things to change, and they struggle with change. And I'm not up here to tell you that all change is good, or we should just always want to change. I'm not here saying that change is bad. It doesn't matter whether it's good or bad, because it's going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. Whether it breaks your heart that those languages are dying or not, they're going to die, and nothing can stop that. People throughout history have tried to keep things alive, and you know what? It's just the way the world works. The world moves forward, okay? And things are born, they live, and they die. And so change is going to come. Change is inevitable. And the way that you get prepared for change is to not just lock in hard with your physical surroundings and everything has to stay the way it is right now. Instead, you lock in with God and the Word of God. Because here's the thing, the Bible works in any country. It works in any nation. It works in any language. It works in any situation. So no matter what happens, I know that my study of the Word of God has prepared me. It's not like, oh man, I learned all this science and then it all became obsolete. Or, you know, I learned a bunch of computer programming and now it's a new operating system. This is the one thing that if you study it, you're never going to have to go back and be like, well, that was a total waste. I mean, think about things that people have studied and learned that just aren't really that relevant anymore. You know, I mean, I'm trying to think of an example. Morse code, is that still a thing? I mean, it's probably still out there. What are some things that somebody learned and they could have gotten really good at and it's just like, wow, that's been totally replaced? What's that?
Playing the recorder?
That's just a rite of passage through elementary school, buddy, okay? We all played the recorder in elementary school, all right? What else? Somebody got a better example? Yes, stenography. The court reporter? I don't think that's really as important anymore because it's probably now they just record the thing, speech to text, writing in shorthand and doing all that. I mean, I'm sure there's a little bit of a use for some of these things, but yeah, you know, some of these things are just going away. What else? Has anybody got another one?
Shoe repair.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. Is that, you know, it used to be that people would get their shoes repaired. You know, you'd have a cobbler fix your shoes. Nowadays, you know, you would just get a new pair of shoes because everything has gotten so much cheaper. And not only that, you just think about even clothing. You know, it used to be that people had to get their clothing fixed and repaired. Now you can just go to the thrift store and get clothes for so cheap. It's just a couple bucks. It's almost, you know, I'm always telling my wife, you know, hey, you need to patch the holes in our son's jeans. She's like, patch the holes? What do you just get a new pair of jeans? But man, you remember when I was a kid, we'd get them patched. Amen. Remember those? We all had patches on our knees as boys, right? Those were the days. But yeah, they're all. So here's the thing. Let's say you're the shoe repair guy. You know, and then you're just holding up some sign, you know, end the machines. The machines have taken over my job. You know, or you're just going to have to adapt and figure out a way to move forward with your life and get some new skills and whatever, because life just changes. That's just the way it is. But the good thing about the Bible is that it never changes. Languages change, nations change, occupations change, but the Word of God doesn't change. Christianity doesn't change. And so that's something at least that we can hang on to. And if that's our big thing that we identify with and hang on to, then you know what? We're ready for any storm because our anchor is secure. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7, go ahead and turn to Psalm 107. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than this? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. The Bible says, don't be one of those people that says, oh, it was better before, it used to be better. Why was it better back then? God says that's a dumb question. Don't sit around asking why it used to be better, or why can't we go back, or why can't it be the way it was? It can't. Move on. Move forward. You know, we need to forget the things that are behind, the Bible says, and reach forth unto those things which are before, and be ready to move forward and be ready for whatever God gives us. Look at Psalm 107, verse 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So it says in verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. So he's talking about people literally being in ships and going through these intense storms. He's talking about the fact that they are basically experiencing the power of God on a very physical, literal level because, you know, they're literally in a ship being thrown around by the waves in the sea. So in a sense, they're literally at God's mercy. You know what I mean? He's just tossing that boat around like a toy. And they are at his mercy. And they cry out to the Lord, and he sends the calm on the sea. But you know what? We're all going through that. It's just that what the Bible says here is that in verse 24, those that go down to the sea in ships, it says in verse 24, these see the works of the Lord. You know what? But God's doing the same thing in all of our lives. You know, all of our lives are always hanging by a thread, if you think about it. All of our lives could go spinning out of control at any moment. All of our lives are going to go through storms and be tossed and so forth. And all of us have that lifeline to God to be delivered, and he can give us peace. And even in the midst of the storm, he can give us peace. I love the fact that when the storm is going on, Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat. I can identify with that. I can relate to that. You know what I mean? Let the whole world come down crashing around me tomorrow. I'll sleep tonight like a baby. You know what I mean? I'll just be like, oh, you know, time for bed. You know, you hear the choppers overhead and the screaming and everything. You know, and you're just like, oh, night. Pull the little blinders on. Go to sleep. You know what? I can relate to that because you know what? I have peace. I have a peace. And you say, how can you be peaceful? Well, that's what it means to have peace that passes understanding. That's why you don't get it. Isn't that what it means to pass understanding? Some people aren't going to understand it. Some people are. It's a peace that passes all understanding. Meaning some people are going to be like, how could you be relaxed right now? How could you be at peace right now? How could you be calm right now? Hey, some people get it and some people don't. Because you know what? If you trust in the Lord and pray to the Lord and cast all your cares upon Him, you can experience that peace. And just say, hey, you know what? Whatever happens, happens. It is what it is. And so God can give us peace in a time of uncertainty. He can give us an anchor. He can give us certainty. Look, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. The time is short. Our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Look at verse 23 of 1 Peter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Flip over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. The Bible says, the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and God's the lawnmower. Amen? All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Everything's going to pass away. God's word abides forever. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's saying, look, I have not yet apprehended. I've not arrived yet. I'm not perfect. I'm not exactly to the destination. But what he's saying is, you know what? There's one thing I do, though. Even though I'm not perfect, even though I don't have all the answers, even though I don't have the level of Christianity that I'd like to have, or I'm still growing, I'm still learning, I'm still progressing. But he's saying, you know, there's one thing I do, though. I let go of the past. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? He's saying, look, I am looking forward. I'm not looking backward. I'm not whining about how things aren't like they used to be. I wish it could just go back to the way it was. I wish things could just be the way that they used to be. You know, that's no way to spend your life. It's time to just realize, here we are. You know, this is where we are. This is our situation. You know, maybe you have a new job. This is your job now. This is your life. This is, you know, welcome to 2020. You know, welcome to June of this year. This is the situation we find ourselves in. Deal with it. You know, there's no point in looking back and longing for the past. It's time to move forward with your life, okay, and reach forward. And you know what I like about this is that he says, you know, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I believe that what he's saying here is that I'm not going to let anything in the past put a cap or a limit on my future success. I'm not going to let something in the past hold me back and say, well, you know, because of this thing in my past, that's why I'm pressing toward the mark for the kind of mid-range calling in Christ Jesus. Or I press toward the mark for the prize of the low calling. You know, I'm looking for the basic package. Is that what he said? And look, he's saying, look, forget the past. I'm starting right now. June 14th, 2020, I'm looking forward. And you know what? The sky's the limit. I can go as high as I want to go. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I don't need to sit there and say, well, you don't understand my past. That's why I can't do much. You know, there's really nothing holding us back from doing great things for God this year. And you say, well, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. Well, so what? Start over. Reset button. Look forward. Don't look backward. Look forward. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, isn't that a thing that we hear about all the time? Privilege. Check your privilege. You know, hey, if you didn't, you know, if your parents didn't, you know, cook you breakfast in the morning, you know, don't take a step forward or whatever. Who knows what I'm talking about? Wasn't there something? It's like, hey, if you, you know, if your parents, what were some of them? I don't know. If you're white, like, take a giant step forward. I don't know. Whatever it was. It was just like telling you, hey, if you had this advantage, if you had that advantage, or what, that's what they would, and they're trying to say, see, this is why you're successful and they're not. See. But you know what, though? You could find people who started all the way in the back that are succeeding right now.
Right.
And you could find people that were handed everything that have ruined their lives.
Right.
I mean, folks, just look at all the child Hollywood stars. I guarantee all those things like take a step forward. They'd probably take every step forward. If you never had to skip a meal, take a step forward. They didn't skip that. If you had plenty of money, take a step forward. If you went to the good school, take a step forward. Right? But where are they now? They're like heroin addicts or something.
Yeah.
Those twin, that little baby girl from Full House looks like a 70-year-old crack addict. What is she like, 30? Who knows what I'm talking about? Both of them. She looks like a 75-year-old crack addict, and she's like 35. And she, you know what? There are plenty of people who've had all kinds of advantages in life and did nothing with it. And then there are other people who came from the very bottom and had everything working against them, and they still did something with their life. You know, don't just get hung up on your past, or especially don't even get hung up on stuff that happened before you were even born. You know what I mean? It's just look forward. Just move forward with your life, right? And you know what? There are all kinds of people who came from bad situations. There are people who came from a bad home life where their family was dysfunctional. Maybe their parents hated each other. And you know what? Now they have loving marriages. Now they're raising godly children, right? There are people who are raised in poverty and drunkenness, and you know what? Now they're sober and they have prosperity, you know, because they turn things around. You know, at some point, you got to break the cycle, right? And you got to be the one who does things differently. How many verses are there in the Bible that says, be not as your fathers?
Right.
You know, when he's telling them, look, your fathers worship false gods, they did these other things, be different. And you know what? Yeah, do some people start out with more of an advantage in life? Of course they do. Of course they do. Lots of people are start out more advantaged than others. But you know what? It is what it is. We can still all live a godly life. We can still all be successful. I mean, when God said that if you are meditating God's word day and night, you know, if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. When God said that, was it like, well, unless you grew up disadvantaged? Is that, you know, then turn to page, you know, turn to Psalm 27 is when we start talking. You know, it's just like, you got to skip all these Psalms because these are only for the privileged few. Did not God say that he's not a respecter of persons?
Right.
Didn't he say that all the nations to him are like nothing to him? So he doesn't give a specific promise that's only for a certain nation. Or folks, anyone who seeks first the kingdom of God will be blessed.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what their situation is. And we could all find reasons to fail. If I wanted to just search my past, I could find all the reasons to make excuses for myself and say, you know what? You don't understand what I went through as a kid and the things I went through. And, you know, I mean, we all went through stuff. Do you think anybody just had a perfect life? If they did, they're probably the biggest jerk because they've never suffered. So that you know what I mean? People who've never suffered, they tend to be arrogant and prideful and everything. You know, I'm glad, you know, I look back at the things that I went through as a kid, suffering that I went through, bad times that I went through, and I'm glad for every single one of them. I'm thankful for every single disadvantage. Every bad thing that happened to me as a kid, I'm glad about it. Because you know why? It helped me to be more humble so that I didn't just grow up and just look down on everyone else. Because I've been through some dark times myself, and then I can understand that. You know, think about, what if I just always had all the money I needed all the time? Then I might look at someone who's struggling financially like, what's your problem? Get a job, you know? And not understand that, hey, sometimes you are working hard, you're working at your job, and you're still struggling to get by, you know? Or just, you know, what if just every time I took a class in school, I just excelled at every single class, and then I might get puffed up and just think, well, you know, you're just an idiot, that, you know, and not understand that, yeah, you know, some things are difficult and it's hard to learn and you got to break things down for people and stuff. You know, it's just, we've all gone through trials, tribulations, struggles. Don't use those things as an excuse to not press for the high calling of God. Okay? Life is filled with setbacks, changes, unexpected. I mean, look, we all had a plan for this year. All of my plans for this year were canceled, all of them. I had a whole plan for this year laid out at the beginning of this year. I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. All of it was canceled, virtually 100%. I mean, virtually every flight that I booked this year was canceled. Trips that were canceled, plans that were canceled, ideas that were canceled. But you know what? I don't even care because I'm just making new plans and just new ideas. You know, you just, oh, there's no use crying over spilled milk. Okay. You know, we've all got times when we go through bad things. Maybe it was 2019, maybe it's 2020, whatever. Life is changing. What do we do? How do we prepare? How am I going to be ready? Look, you'll never go wrong by just reading your Bible every day, going to church, winning a soul to Christ, walking with God. Because you know what? With God in my corner, I'm ready to just face whatever the world throws at me. You know, whatever July throws at me, bring it on. You know, if it's murder hornets, let's do it. You know, whatever it is. Who knows what it's going to be? Like I said, I'm not looking for a normal summer. But whatever wild thing comes, you know what? The Bible says, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All we need to worry about is just what's our issue today? Just got to get through that tea party, amen? That's it. Hey, get through the tea party. I'm joking. The tea party's going to be fun. I'm not going to be there. Okay, I got to get through watching the kids during the tea party. No, I'm just kidding. I like watching the kids, all right? I took the kids all day yesterday. I had a real good time. And you know what? There's so many wonderful things that for us to be thankful for right now. Amen. And are things changing? Yeah. You know, look, I've gone through changes, upheavals. You know, I remember when I had my fire alarm business and I lost my business, that was devastating to me. You know, I spent years building that business and it was devastating to me to lose all that. But looking back, I feel like an idiot for even being devastated because it was such a blessing in disguise. I remember when the IRS audited me, that was devastating. I was just like, this is the most horrible thing ever. And I'm just spending all day, every day, just going through all this paperwork and just binders of stuff and the auditors grilling me. I'm getting interrogated. I don't know what the right answer is, you know, and I'm just stressed out. And they're like, you owe us $60,000 and just all this stuff. Hey, but you know what? I got through the whole thing. When it was all said and done, I didn't give them a dime and they gave me a bunch of money. And looking back, I was like, I'm glad I got audited. That was cool. Because I'm like, I got a big pile of money. That's why the government's in such debt. They waste their time auditing you for months and then give you a bunch of money. You know, I learned a lot about taxes. I learned about finances. But you know what the biggest thing I learned was? Sometimes you worry about things and they don't even happen. and actually it turns out for good.
Yeah.
And you spend your time worrying. And look, I'll be honest, I wasn't as peaceful back then as I am now. I've become a lot more peaceful over the years. Back then, man, I was stressed. I was upset for weeks. I was really upset. I was nervous. I was scared. I was just under pressure, upset. But you know what? I'm glad that I got audited. It always ends up being like that. I'm telling you. In hindsight, you look back and you'll find good things about 2020. You'll look back at 2020 and be like, oh, that was cool because now, you know, it worked out to where I can work from home now or something, you know, whenever I want because my business changed or something. I don't know. Or maybe you'll get, I don't know. There's going to be a silver lining in so many cases.
Amen.
You know, just trust in the Lord. Keep looking forward. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about things changing. Live in the present and just serve God. And I'm telling you, when you serve God, you can be prepared for anything that God throws at you. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for these promises, Lord. And we're living in some very uncertain times and strange times. And people are worried. And you've got people that are complaining about the past. You've got people that are complaining about the future. You got people that are very anxious and on edge and angry. Lord, first of all, help us to be patient with the people that are angry right now. And Lord, help us be patient with all the people that are nervous and scared and agitated because they're just having a hard time coping right now, Lord. And so help us to have grace with them and be patient with them, Lord. But as for ourselves, help us to find that peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, I just pray that you would give our church a great year in spite of everything. Lord, I pray that we would win many people unto you, and I pray that we would just grow as a church, both numerically, but also just spiritually, and just help us to come out of this better, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.